Max Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we try to forget the debacle in San Francisco and carry the G into the Giants game. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Za'Darius Smith.
We got the bad. We got
Sean Manenga.
We got the ugly. We got
Matt LaFleur, probably the only time he'll ever be called ugly in his entire life.
I didn't actually know who Sean Manenga was until you just said his name.
I wasn't going to say anything, but
I'm not ashamed.
Corey literally looked at the script and said, "Who's Sean Manenga?"
I thought it said Sean Mendez.
So we're off to a rip-roaring start here. How are you, Banky?
If you know the name of the special teams coach, it's a bad day for Corey Banky, let me tell you that right now.
You got a bad issue.
Bad day.
Oh, Corey. Well, I would ask how you enjoyed the game, except I watched it with you here in the studio.
Oh, yeah, we did, right?
Yeah, we did. Not good, not great, not wonderful.
Not good, not great, not bad.
Oh, it was pretty bad.
Nah.
It was pretty ugly.
Okay, not good, not great, bad, but not terrible. How's that?
No, it was pretty terrible.
Nah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd hate to see what you would define as terrible if that doesn't cut the mustard.
The 1982 Green Bay Packers.
That's a fair point.
That's terrible.
Fair point.
Okay.
Fair
compared point. To the
it looked like the 1982 Green Bay Packers.
No, they look no. Then you're not remembering the 1982 Packers.
Oh, I remember.
Right?
I remember.
No, because
Bart Starr years are seared on my brain.
One or the 1980s.
You're right.
Green
I mean,
Bay
those
Packers.
Teams were, of course, they were 10 times worse. If I agree. You, obviously.
If you saw a picture of Lindy Infante, it would trigger you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
You are not kidding right now.
Okay?
You are not kidding.
I bet Sean Manenga doesn't trigger you as much as Lindy Infante.
He's getting there, though. He is getting there. All right, let's get to some news. There's some Packers news. There was literal news right before we went live.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Packers put in a claim, a waiver claim, if you will, for one Jared Veldheer, the former former Patriot, although he never played for the Patriots. He literally had one practice with the Patriots before he decided to retire this past spring. They put him on the reserve retired list. He has been there the entirety of the season. And just this past week informed the Patriots that he would like to unretire. Obviously, Bill Belichick feeling like he doesn't want that. A guy who basically essentially quit on them. Didn't want to keep that guy around, so they released him from the reserve. They released them from their list, basically from the Patriots.
Okay.
They relinquished his rights. And because it's after the trade deadline, he is subject to waivers.
Waivers.
And the Packers put in a claim and are awarded him. Now, what I've seen on Twitter a bunch is, they're going to have to cut someone now that they're getting him, and that is not strictly true. He remains on the reserved retired list.
Mm.
Until the Packers decide to take him off of it.
And then they will have to cut someone.
Eventually, they'll have to cut someone. You have to think that. I'd be surprised, actually, if that happens this week. But we'll see. Maybe they do it. Maybe they throw him right in the mix.
Or he's just like, he's a backup option.
Well, he is very much a backup option, undoubtedly. But it's interesting to see. You know, Brian Bulaga goes down, and this tackle becomes available, and Gutekunst makes a move. I like it. I'll take it. He's a guy who's played both left and right tackle. Played right tackle for the Broncos, much like Billy Turner did, who probably will end up playing right tackle on Sunday if Bulaga's unable to go.
Which is looking likely.
Pretty likely. Of course, coach won't rule him out yet.
Oh, yeah.
All right. He played for the Cardinals. He played for the Broncos. He was actually drafted by Reggie McKenzie, former Packers personnel man back in his days with Oakland. So we'll see how things develop there. Literally just breaking right before we went live. Next bit of news is, as we were just discussing, Brian Bulaga was injured, hurt his knee in the game on Sunday night. Thankfully, avoided serious injury. Now, we've seen Bulaga go down a couple times this year. He's had to miss time. He's come back every time the following week. Like you just alluded to, I'd be surprised if he plays on Sunday. He has an MCL injury, Thankfully, the ACL was spared. But I can't imagine him turning around and playing on the slop that will be MetLife on Sunday afternoon, because it is supposed to be pretty nasty out here in New York on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, all the weather's coming our way right now. The country has been...
The Midwest is just getting over it,
yep.
And now it's headed this way. So it's supposed to snow and or be wintry conditions on Sunday, so we'll see what happens there. And because of Bulaga's injury, the Packers have promoted Yosh Niemann to the 53-man roster. I know you're a big fan of everybody on the practice squad, so, you know.
Did you just say Yosh Niemann? Holy yeet, Batman.
I had a bunch of people ask me, like, what did he look like in camp? It's like, you think I was watching Yosh Niemann in camp?
Yeah, I do. How come we never talked about Yosh Niemann?
Because there was nothing to talk about. He was a camp body.
Nobody asked about Yosh Niemann in chat.
No, sir. Not once. Not once.
That's weird.
So we'll
that's
see.
A great name.
Yeah, it is. It most certainly is. That's your Packers news, people.
Okay.
Let's talk some offense, shall we?
Okay.
I mean, as hard as it was to watch, still got to talk about it.
You know what's harder to watch than the Packers?
What's that?
Everyone on Twitter.
Ooh, we'll get there.
No, we're going to get there right now.
We'll get there.
No, I'm going to go off script.
Oh,
my grandfather told me to stay on script, but...
Oh, God. I should have worn my stay on target shirt. See, I have failed.
My grandfather texted my girlfriend to tell me to stay on script.
Oh, God.
But I don't want to.
How'd that work out?
I don't want to.
All right.
You know, people...
All right, good. Let's have it. Let's have it. Wait. Hold on. All right. Let me get ready. I've been in work mode all day. Now it is time. Talk to me, Banky.
You have a work mode?
Apparently.
No.
Let me.
Okay. Let's talk about. You're right.
Football.
We should know.
No one comes here for the football anyway, Banky. They just come here to listen to us scream.
We watched the game. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, you're right. I felt the same way you did. I felt that, yes, the players were bad, but the plan was just...
garbage.
Yeah, and
garbage.
It really did feel like, to me, we are back on track. So, to me, it felt like the mentor and the master mm-hmm. basically owned the mentor.
Oh, big time.
And, you know, the mentor... the student, right? LaFleur, he didn't, you know, it was just it's a rookie coach, right? Let's not forget this. Mm-hmm. And he didn't step up to what he needed to do to beat the master. That's just kind of what happened, right?
There's no question there.
Now, seeing LaFleur and how he is, I don't doubt that the next time the best part about losing, people, if there's one kind of silver lining in this loss,
right,
is that in the NFL, as we know all too well, it is very hard to beat a team two times in one season. And there is a very good chance we keep winning, which I fully believe we will, against these five teams that are pretty much garbage except for the Minnesota Vikings. you know, we went out. We're going to see the 49ers again. There's no doubt in my mind.
I mean, here's the thing. The players were bad. There's no doubt about it. The players were bad. But the plan was so much worse. And, hey, to coach's credit, Monday afternoon, he came out and said, we got out-schemed. We got schemed up. We got totally out-coached, and that's on me. I mean, it was nice to see him take responsibility, have accountability after a real embarrassing evening. I think your point is absolutely correct. I think, you know, his old buddy, the guy who taught him a lot about offensive football, et cetera, really was ahead of the curve every single moment, the entire game.
You know, and it's funny, I was poo-pooing on Sunday.
Boy.
I was poo-pooing Matt Hasselbeck and Rex Ryan on the pregame show, because literally Matt Hasselbeck literally said this. Mm-hmm. He was like, look, if the 49ers stop the run,
right,
they will make the Packers one dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On its face, that sounds like the dumbest shit you ever heard in your life.
Well, it sounds pretty obvious, you know?
No, it just sounds like, how do you make Aaron Rodgers one dimensional? Right, right. Well, the 49ers did a damn good job of that on Sunday. I'll tell you that right now.
They did,
and Rex Ryan agreed with that. And I was like, you know, at the time I was like, this is so stupid. And my typical like hot take about everybody's my hot take is everyone is dumb who talks shit about the Packers. That's
right.
My first take.
Yeah. That's okay. Your default setting.
That's my default setting.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Much like other bloggers, their default setting is, let me use this tired old narrative that I've been using and bring it back into this game, even though I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, Zach Cruz. But we digress.
Why?
We're going to get there.
Oh, God.
We're going to get there, Nagler.
Do we have to get there?
We have to get there.
All right.
Show is about talking shit.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yes. All right. Okay. I'm either going to talk shit about you.
Yeah, fair.
And if I can't talk shit about you because I agree with you too much, I'm going to
find
someone. Find
someone else. I got you. But we're going to stick on script right now. We're going to talk about MVS and his continuing ability to frustrate the hell out of
me. Where in the hell is this guy? Where is he?
And then he finally gets an opportunity, and he literally acts like he's Sunday afternoon in the park.
Well,
rather than prime time, ball game, possible chance to get the team back into it. Aubrey, roll this clip, because I'm just like, what? How do you even get to this point? Like, I don't understand. Look at this ball from it. What a waste of a great throw. He just doesn't even try to get his feet in. Like, back in the day, that would have been Jordy or Jennings or even Cobb, and they would have been toe drag swagging, you know? But this kid runs through it like it's just practice. Like, I don't get it. Also, as I said on Twitter, I need some kind of oral history of the two fans, Packers fans in the front row there, who are cheering even after it's ruled incomplete. Like, they're literally going, woo, 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 after it's incomplete.
Packer fans are the best.
I mean, that is the fourth quarter, so I'm sure they're a couple in, but
Packer fans are the best and the worst.
It's just,
we love them.
I like
them. You gotta love them.
Great. MVS. Now look.
So what did you see on, so
Devontae Adams.
I don't watch the All-22, so what did you see on the All-22? From MVS.
Well,
because I even asked you, I said, were people open? Because the big takeaway, the hot take after the game from everybody is, oh, nobody's getting open.
Here's the thing. Like, this is not central to MVS. This is everybody. Now, there were moments. You know, Lazard got open a few times. Geronimo got open a few times. Had a really frustrating drop that everybody saw. Guys got open at times, at moments. Sometimes Rodgers just wasn't looking their way. But here's the thing, that the narrative that forms is, oh, Adams is the only one getting open. No. Adams is the first read in the progression more often than not.
Right.
So that when he does get open as a first read, Aaron throws him the ball. And he is featured the most. So that when that read is covered and Aaron looked other places, oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes on Sunday night, the rush was in his lap. So at that point, he's scrambling for his life. But then that becomes, for whatever reason, oh, no one's getting open. But no, here's the other thing. And this is what I was talking about, how the plan was so just god-awful. Everything they were trying to do in the passing game, not everything, a lot of what they were trying to do in the passing game on Sunday night plays right into the hands of the 49ers defense. This idea that they are going to play that cover three match zone, they're going to have that shell. It's three high, four underneath, and they rush four. Now, sometimes they'll switch up the responsibilities on the back end, but for the most part, that is the shell. The way to get them out of that shell is to run the ball. And for whatever reason, you know, LaFleur refused to stick with the run. And I've had people push back and say, well, they weren't getting anywhere with the run. That's okay. You stick with it because you know this is the team you're playing. This is the defense you're playing. The runs will start breaking. And when they do, they will have to change their defense. And that's when you try to take advantage through the air. But this idea that no one was getting open, no, they were playing coverage. And Rodgers is one of the most risk-averse quarterbacks you've ever seen. So, yes, were there opportunities if he wanted to laser one in through a tight window through coverage? Yeah, possibly. But we've all watched Aaron Rodgers for long enough to know that's not going to happen.
Right.
You know? So, it's not as simple as, oh, no one was getting open. No, stop. Stop. Stop.
They can't stop. They're on Twitter. They're addicted.
I know.
Listen, here's the other thing is, I guess the biggest takeaway for me, and I think that night is, and as we're watching, especially in the second, third, and fourth quarter, is where was the Aaron Jones game plan?
Oh my God!
And what happened? In some regards, it's almost was like, what happened to Aaron Jones? Yeah. Did something happen to him? Did the coach lose confidence?
Right.
Because it really felt like Jamal Williams was a featured back. It did not feel like it was a 1-2.
Got more
punch
opportunities,
kind of,
right? Yeah. I mean, it definitely felt like that live. And then you look back at the numbers, and it's like, yeah, he got what, 8 targets? Aaron Jones got 1. What? Like, over the last 3 games, and this is since Devontae's come back. It's not, you can't paint it any other way. Since Devontae's come back, Aaron Jones went from having 8 targets in the Kansas City game to having 3 targets against the Chargers, no targets against the Panthers, 1 target against the 49ers. That's not going to cut it. He is your second most explosive / best player on offense after Devontae Adams. Get him the ball.
Which is funny because...
the offense flow through him.
The thing that you really saw for the responses from people, and it's a dumb response, but it's also not, right? Sunday felt like a Mike McCarthy coach team.
It really did. It really did. I said as much on Twitter when I said it. You know, here was what I expected them to do as far as running the football, making it a smash mouth game, right? Lots of two tight,
yep.
Lots of two back. Lots of Danny Vitale. Run the ball. Run the ball. I thought it was so obvious to me what needed to happen, but they came out like LaFleur hung out with Mike McCarthy throughout the bye week. Like, I just, coming out in the 11 personnel and just throwing it all over the yard or trying to, it was mystifying. It was absolutely inexplicable.
Aubrey, can you check? It's not pulling Facebook comments, so on the VMix social.
VMix Social is going down.
It's pulling YouTube, but I'm trying to get our Facebook comments in there.
I feel you. So let's talk about the defense, because we've railed on about the offense. I think it's been covered a lot. I mean, thankfully,
has it been, though?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, because you're not on Twitter a lot. Not the way I am.
And I'm on Twitter.
All anyone talks about this week is Aaron Jones. And it was written about in the local paper, and Matt for The Athletic asked about it, and Jason Wilde asked about it again today. So, like, the Aaron Jones thing has been well covered, and it's going to be, to me, this is going to be so interesting to see how LaFleur responds. Because I remember back when McCarthy was there, like, we would all hammer on, like, well, you're not getting the tight ends involved. And then literally the next week, it would be, like, completely focused on the tight ends. Like, he always responded
to that
stuff.
Which is not what you want.
No, well, you do and you don't. Like, it's always kind of fun. But I'm fascinated to see what kind of offensive game plan he comes up with on Sunday in regards to, does he all of a sudden switch to featuring Aaron Jones a lot more? And he's going to say, even if they, you know, are really successful, people will say, oh, maybe you got away from Aaron Jones too much. And he'll say, oh, no, it was just like the defense and what we determined was the best way to attack this opponent. I bank that response because that's going to happen.
I mean, but you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that you need to get Aaron Jones involved.
You would think. Andy Herman, former writer here at Cheesehead TV, he put it perfectly on Twitter after the game. I think it was actually Monday after the game. He said, it's just kind of unbelievable. It's kind of dumbfounding that through 2 regimes now, whether it's Mike McCarthy or Matt LaFleur, they've got this gold that they just refuse to feature. And LaFleur today made me want to pull what's remaining of my hair out. Talking about how, like, we still got to make sure we're balanced with Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. Look, I understand you wanted to keep Aaron Jones healthy. You've kept him healthy. Now it's time to make a playoff push. Utilize your best player on offense.
But it's also like, you can't call it a 1-2 punch if you don't use number one. And you
as number one.
Number two.
I
don't understand.
I don't even.
I also, I really, don't understand. I really do not understand. And like, as a simpleton, right? I just don't get this, right? I don't get why when we do the best, and this is historically, this is since 1995, right? Mike Holmgren times.
Right.
Historically, the more players on offense we include in the game plan, as
write it around.
The more we do that, the more we are a dangerous offense and we have a success. And so, like, that's why the part that's really hard for fans is, like, it feels like it's rocket science to get, hey, is it really that hard to go, oh, I'm seeing this, I want to feature Danny Vitale on this.
Right.
Oh, I'm seeing this, I want to feature this person on this and make them the hot read or the one and the two. Like,
one. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I get that you want to get, I know that there's a lot of things going on and I know you're trying to game plan for the opponent. But at
some point, don't you have to dictate? You know what I mean? What is the old saying, you know? Think Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's. It's players, not plays. The players, not plays. That's Bill Walsh, you know? It's like, feature your best players. Aaron Jones is one of your best players. Like, it kind of just baffles me. That whole aspect of it.
That baffles me, and it also baffles me that, like, where in the world, when you lose Bulaga, why are you doing any five-step drops?
I know, or at least doing 5 and 7 step drops with no help for your tackle. Like, that's what I mean when I talk
also,
about it.
Also, why are
it's like
you
he hung out with McCarthy? All
why are you doing a 5 step drop and you do not have a check down on every play? And from what I watched, that there was a check down. There was mostly a check down available to him. So, you know, I don't know.
I feel you.
It's very, you know, I get why people are frustrated because that's frustrating. The whole embarrassing thing, when you use the word embarrassing, I think that's a cop out. I never use that on Twitter. It's not embarrassing. I don't know. I don't think Sunday was embarrassing. I think that we got punched in the mouth, right?
That's true.
If you lose a fight, it's not embarrassing. You lost a fight, right? Embarrassing is when you pee on yourself. Okay? They didn't pee on themselves. They didn't.
They kind of peed on themselves.
No,
they kind of stumbled out.
No.
Out the bar after a day of drinking and peed on themselves in front of a national audience. That's what's embarrassing.
No.
If you're carrying the G, like we do, you walk around carrying the G. Everyone knows, hey, that guy carries the G. His team just peed their leg in front of a national audience. It's kind of embarrassing.
Nah, I wasn't embarrassed. I wasn't embarrassed as a fan. But you know what? I bring a tremendous amount of perspective into a game, and I wish that other people did the same.
That could be a whole separate show, but I'm not going to go there. Let's talk about the defense, shall we?
Why not?
Let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about Za'Darius.
I don't want to talk about the defense.
Let's talk about Za'Darius
the program.
Smith. Za'Darius Smith.
Let's talk about Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith having more sacks and together than like anybody.
Za'Darius Smith is a fucking wrecking ball, man. This guy. Oh my. This play. I love this play. I want to show this play. He takes on not just the tackle. He gets chipped, runs through the, like, basically plows through the tackle, and the guard tries to help out at the last minute, and none of it matters. And, you know, Preston's there to help him clean it up. But look at, this guy. We got this guy in free agency.
Ridiculous.
And here's the other thing. Do you remember the halcyon days back in the spring when they signed Za'Darius and Preston one after the other on the same day? And then the numbers came out, and so many capologists, so many junior GMs were like, oh, they overpaid. How fucking stupid do those people sound now?
Real dumb.
I mean, they are worth every fucking penny that the Packers are paying. Oh, I love them. I love Za'Darius. I love that he's a Packer. He's a fucking wrecking ball. Love it. Now, what I don't love... What I'm really getting tired of...
Let me hear this.
What I'm really sick of is all the big plays. Look, we started the season, we got a defense. Okay, great, we're all excited for the first 3 weeks or so, and then the big plays started happening. And happening. And happening. And happening. And we asked the coaches, and we were told about run fits, and we were told about coverage, and we were told about rotations, and we were told about communication... It's week 13, Corey. Mike Pettine was given the aforementioned Smiths in free agency.
Yeah.
He was giving both first-round picks, one of which can't get on the field, and for whatever reason, nothing's getting better. Yeah, they definitely lock things down in the red zone, but you know what? That doesn't help when teams are scoring from 60 yards away.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I think
I want to see improvement.
But you
like I'm fine if you are struggling in areas, but then fucking fix it.
The whole first half of the game, the defense basically shut them down.
I get it.
So, as someone, one of my Twitter followers pointed out, is that how low the bar has gotten collectively in Green Bay that we are like, you know what? We have one good half of defensive football.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
the Cowboys
game.
Why. The Chargers
game. I'll tell
game,
you why, though.
The 49ers game.
This is the thing.
It's great we played a good half of
this
defense.
This is the thing that every fucking expert doesn't know what the hell they're talking about because they don't emphasize situational football. Okay? If you go up on a guy, if I go up on you by 20 points, guess what? You don't get to play the same game that you wanted to game
they
for.
They didn't go up on the Chargers or the 49ers. They just got their ass kicked.
Situational football matters. Where you are on down and distance and in the score matters.
Look,
so if you shut a team down in the first half and you don't score anything, you can't say, oh, defense, where were you?
No, I get that.
Sorry.
Yes, you want some support from your offense.
Come on, man.
No doubt about it. I'm not belittling or dismissing that. I am saying if the same problem exists in week 13 that existed in week 3, you're not doing your job as a coach. I love Mike Pettine. I love Mike Pettine. Anybody who's watched Cheesehead TV over the last 2 years knows I fucking love the man. But Jesus, Holy Mary, and Joseph, does he need to get his head out of his ass on the big plays? And I get that he's got some youth in the secondary. He's got a problem inside because God knows Martinez isn't, you know, all that. I get all that. But the man was handed essentially a blank check and said, what do you need on the defensive side of the ball? Let's try and fix as much as we can this offseason. Okay, here you go. Here's two pass rushers. Here's a 12th overall pick. Here's a safety to solve that problem. We got free agency. We got another safety. Dude, come on. I get problems gelling. I get things might be an issue early in the season. It's week 13 and we can't have a quarter in quarters coverage, not know he's supposed to backside replace. He's still biting up like he was a month ago.
But did he really? I thought
yes.
Coach said Kevin King was not responsible for
that. Not Kevin King. That was on Alexander. Alexander's aggressiveness, which is great. You love it. You love the aggressiveness. But hey, here's an idea. So call more man coverage. Or at least if you're going to play this mixed match bullshit, allow them to get physical up at the line.
I guarantee you they are not calling man coverage because he does not trust his secondary.
But that's what their forte is. It's man coverage, physical bump and run.
No.
It's just I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of reacting on defense. Try to dictate once in a while.
I guess. I really do. I really do think that situational football is real.
I agree with you.
And I can look at all three losses, and you can literally look where the defense in all three losses was very good for the first part of the game,
right?
And situational football got them in situations where they couldn't cover three things, right? So the middle was available.
I would agree with two of those games. I think Philadelphia, they never really had a solution to anything.
No, but Phil that's a different, I would agree with that.
That's a different,
but the other thing is on the three losses, there is no real trend. People are, this is my other problem.
It's the big,
okay?
It's the big plays.
Right.
That's the trend.
Right, but.
But they're different plays. I get you. I get you. I get that.
Like big play, I mean, I'm not hating on you, but it's like,
no.
Big plays is a pretty generic.
Okay, but it's a generic thing that doesn't happen to the best defenses in the league. Right?
It doesn't happen to one defense in the league.
No, all the
49.
What good? No, or the Patriots or the Ravens. I mean, go down the list.
The Patriots literally don't play anyone. Who have the Patriots played?
They don't care. They don't give up big plays. The Packers played the Lions and gave up big plays. I mean, who they played is immaterial. They're NFL opponents. I mean, if it's an NFL team, you are accountable.
Okay.
The Packers have given up big plays to everybody, regardless of their record. That's what's so frustrating.
Finally, and this, I should have switched these around because I should have led with this at number two, so we could have gone into the big one there at number three. But now we'll end the defensive segment with, can we get more Kiki? I mean, this guy needs to play more.
It's true. He was
really good.
He played
well on Sunday night.
He was really good in camp. He was like a difference maker in camp.
He was good in camp, and I watched him on Sunday night. I went and just watched all of his snaps. He played well. Can we get him on the field a little bit more? I mean, I know he seems to have moved ahead of Montrevious Adams finally, but he needs to get ahead of Tyler Lancaster. Hell, I may even say he needs to get ahead of Dean Lowry. Like, can we get some more Kiki in our life?
That's all I want. That's all I ask for. I don't ask for a lot. Banky, you know me. The dude abides. I need some more Kiki.
Okay, I can live with that.
All right, Aubrey, you ready? I'm ready. You ready, Banky?
Sure.
All right, roll it.
She's not rolling it.
She does. She's like...
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right.
It's pouring my beer.
The Packer blogosphere. The return of that venerable series. Corey Banky. How are you? We need to do a new graphics package because no one wants to hear about the blogosphere.
Somebody just put, Corey is the true definition of ride or die, and we love him for it.
Absolutely, baby.
You know what? Yes, I am! Fuck anyone who says differently about the Packers.
I'll be over here. Just let me know when you're ready.
I was just feeling that. Now my voice is completely gone.
Now you totally shot it. It's good. It's good. I'm sorry, are we good? Are we ready to go?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, we're okay now?
I'm not done, but...
Oh, I know. I hope not. Because let me tell you, Banky, you got to carry the G here.
Carry that G.
Because no one wants to hear about the blogosphere. People want to know. People gots to know. To quote Kevin Bacon and JFK, people got to know. Who shouldn't carry the G this week? Because let me tell you, there are plentiful contenders.
There's a lot of people. Look, I know I'm a nerdy white guy.
You? No.
I know this.
No, not at all.
I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of what I do or don't know. But if I was a Packer blogger.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
I would be ashamed of myself.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Like, here's the thing, right? I posted this on Twitter. But, like, there's two problems that I have with people. Okay. One is... I said this earlier. People have this narrative that they take with them, right?
Right.
You don't do this. There's a lot of people that don't do this. I think Matt Schneidman doesn't do this. I don't think Rob Domofsky does this. Wes doesn't do this. But there's certain people who all of a sudden they kind of tie to their narrative, right? Whatever it's going to be, right? This defense is soft. This thing is that
I know where you're going.
We don't have enough.
There are plenty of people who would accuse me of doing exactly what you're doing.
But I haven't seen you do
it. I see you. I feel you.
But I just feel strongly about it. There's people who, they take this narrative, right? So there's this narrative going around where everyone, where we're basically, we don't have enough weapons on offense, right?
I love that narrative.
So this is a narrative, right? This was a narrative in week 4, 5, 6, whatever, right? All of a sudden, we're 8-2, and no one, because we're 8-2,
yes.
No one can say that that's the narrative because it doesn't make any sense.
And they just won a game.
Doesn't make
they
any
just,
sense.
They just
we just
beat
won.
Carolina.
We just beat Carolina, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, we're 8-3. So you know, we have this tweet, right? So this is going to play into my second narrative. We have this tweet from one Mr. Zach Cruz, who basically you say, if you think a traded four wide receiver would have made a difference for the Packers tonight, step back from the internet. Okay. So Zach Cruz goes, I just don't understand this at all. He dropped back to pass 41 times. Sure, the line got beat a lot, but he was also holding the ball, waiting for someone to get open so many snaps. No one after Devontae can get open. Okay. So I love Zach. I'm not hating on Zach, but
you're kind of hating.
Two narratives here. One, you had a narrative during the season that we didn't have enough weapons. So all of a sudden, you decided when we just lost one game before you watched the All 22, right? So this is the other thing. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. You. No one can really dispute this. There is no way you can watch broadcast television. Okay.
Yep.
If you're watching the game on television, yep. There is no way humanly possible to tell if wide receivers are open or not open.
Correct.
That's impossible.
Correct.
So if you go on Twitter and you're like, no one can get open but Devontae, you're wrong because you haven't even looked at the tape, okay?
Well, and as we talked
one,
about before.
Number two, sorry.
Go.
Number two is... Everyone's trying to go after Nagler, and it's fucking pissing me off. Okay? It's like, oh, Nagler, I disagree with you. And you know why? Because I want to be at the top. You're at the top, and I want to be you, Nagler. And so this is a thing, right? It's like, oh, if I disagree with Nagler, I'll get some play and I'll get some traction because I don't have it going on, so I need that. It's like trying to take the guy out at the top is a classic thing. Right. And you know what? You know what else is a classic thing? In the Buddy movie?
His crazy buddy comes in.
His crazy sidekick! That's me, motherfucker! Yeah!
Oh, my God. That's amazing. All right, well, I don't agree with any of that last part. But I will say, to your point about Devontae being the only one who can get open, as we talked about earlier, in case someone's tuning in late, Devontae is the first read. So he gets the ball a lot. And then when Devontae is covered, and especially in that game, the pass rush is in Rodgers' lap. So he's running for his life. So this idea that no one was getting open, especially after, you know, a game where they couldn't protect, the starting right tackle went out after 11 plays, for you to sit there and say that no one else is getting open. And I had so many other people chime in and goes, oh, yeah, like no one's getting open. It's like, can we just wait and watch the film? Like, and everybody knows this. That's the other, because it's to back to your point, people are so, they're just so thirsty.
They're holding
their
on
narrative
to their narratives.
Right. So they can keep saying they're right. Oh, look, I was right. It's like, come on, guys. They scored 30-plus points like for a month without Devontae Adams. But you're telling me they don't have the weapons necessary?
All of a sudden, that changed. Yeah, all of a sudden, that's a different. The other thing is, I guarantee you, not to bring up my favorite troll, I guarantee you, okay?
Oh, boy.
If Jay Kumerow never catches another pass in the NFL, yeah. You know who's going to come out with that Jeff Janis is better than Kumerow narrative.
Because
he's just holding on to it for dear life.
Hey, by the way, for posterity, for the record, it is way past time for Jake Kumerow to take Geronimo Allison's snap.
Can he please?
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
When are we going to get more Kumerow? When are we going to get more Vitale? Like,
dude, Vitale played 9 snaps.
Dude.
The hell? He is a weapon. Use him. This shouldn't be this difficult. All right, now I want to move on here for a second. I just want to say something. I just want to say, I have been accused many times of hating Aaron Rodgers. And Lord knows I do not hate Aaron Rodgers. I love the guy. Love him like a brother. I am critical of him at times. I am critical at times of his play on the field, not of his body language. Because holy shit, did there seem to be some kind of cottage industry sprouting up after that game,
Lord,
Sunday night, about Aaron Rodgers' demeanor, his body language. And then, after I kind of was like ready to dismiss it, one Mr. Bob McGinn.
Oh God, Nagler. Why you gotta trigger me?
Mr. Bob McGinn took to his post.
Oh, man.
With his grading the Packers. Now, what's the title of this? Grading the Packers. That would suggest looking at the tape and grading the performance. That is not what this was from Mr. McGinn. This is possibly, and I haven't read everything on the internet, but this is quite possibly the most okay boomer writing I have ever encountered.
Did you just okay boomer Bob McGinn?
I did.
Oh,
this is the most okay boomer shit I have ever read about the Green Bay Packers. Corey, you can take a break. You can hang out. You do whatever you need. Because I am going to read the entirety of what Bob wrote about Aaron Rodgers. Because it is so absurd, it is theater. Are you ready? Here we go. It was stunning to see Aaron Rodgers rendered null and void by this defense, which was minus Dee Ford and Quan Alexander. It was more stunning to see the bloodless manner in which he accepted one-sided defeat. Rodgers completed 20 of 33 passes for 104 yards, a 3.2 average that marked the lowest of any of his 169 starts. In all, the Packers averaged 2.83 yards per play, their worst since Game 15 of 2015 at Arizona. Their worst before that was Game 10 of 2006 against New England. here's where it gets great. When Rodgers exited the messy affair with 5 minutes left, he hadn't even challenged the 49ers. The longest downfield pass that he completed was 7 yards to Jamal Williams in the left flat on a ball that was underthrown and barely caught. He was content. He was content. He was content getting the ball out of his hand in a hurry. His 20 completions included 6 checkdowns for 39 yards. 5 bubble screens, 3 quick outs, 2 screens, 1 slant, 1 bootleg, 1 backfield pass off jet motion, and 1 push pass for 2 yards. Several times the checkdown receiver had a defender in close proximity. He didn't seem to mind. Of his 4 takeoff/fades, he airmailed 2 over the head of an open Davante Adams and another over Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He threw a good ball to MVS that would have required a great receiver to get his feet down for a 36-yard TD. He isn't and didn't. I actually kind of like that turn of phrase. That was pretty good. Probably his best completion was a corner route to Adams for a conversion. For the 3rd time this season, he took advantage of a quarterback's newest and best friend, the pass rush, to record a TD pass. Robert Saleh selectively blitzed, but of the 5 sacks, 2 came on his only 2 6-man pressures and another on a 5-man. The football was belted loose from Rodgers on the 1st sack. The ball also came loose on 2 of the other sacks, but he was down by contact. It looked as though the ferocious nature of the 49ers' rush messed him up. Now here's the meat of it. At no time did Rodgers do anything to inspire or ignite the offense. It's hard to imagine other illustrious quarterbacks such as Drew Brees, Tom Brady, who literally falls down when the rush is in his face, yep. Brett Favre, Dan Marino, John Elway, Dan fucking Fouts, or Steve Young ever going down in such circumstances without putting up a fight. Meaning, meeting fire with fire, standing tall in the pocket, or working to escape the rush, getting down and dirty, admonishing friend and foe alike, attacking downfield and scraping to put some points on the board, and maybe, just maybe, lifting his team from hopelessness to jubilation. Rodgers just slipped away to the sidelines with little or no emotion, trading helmet for ball cap, perhaps comforted in the knowledge that the team's turnover differential, as well as his passer rating, hadn't been unduly damaged. Let me tell you, dear readers and listeners, that is a gigantic pile of bullshit. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is who he is when he's winning MVPs and Super Bowls, he is who he is when he's losing. This idea that his demeanor, or he's not showing enough fire, or he's not a leader because of XYZ, is such a monumental pile of crap. It is so fucking disingenuous. I hate it with every fiber of my being.
Well, and it's also written by a guy that hasn't scraped for anything in his whole entire life.
Oh, jeez. Oh, gosh. Oh, boy.
Like, come on, man. Professional writer of the year 5 times.
I know. I love it.
Wisconsin.
The dude.
I'm supposed to respect that? Bro, you don't even know what the F you're talking about.
The guy who doesn't even, yeah.
Whatever.
Nah,
I can't believe we actually wasted that much time, although I did enjoy the reading.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, let's hear from the folks, shall we? What people got to
say? Let's start with where did I go?
Oh, God.
Okay, Gary Remus, thanks for the super chat. I need both or your choices here, assuming all 3 are in their prime. Which gambling tavern loving scoundrel would you rather hang out with on a Friday night? Han Solo, Lando Calrissian, or Paul Horning?
Lando Calrissian, it's not even close.
All right. Parker Mose, thanks for the super chat. Final 5 week stretch, in my honest opinion, they'll win 4-5 with the X Factor game being at Minnesota. SF has a brutal final stretch too, so they could likely lose a few more, still giving GB a chance at the top two seed. Thoughts?
My only thoughts are about the New York Giants. I keep getting people in my mentions, in my inbox, on the show, talking about the stretch. Yo, they could lose on Sunday. Don't think for a second that they can't.
Come on.
It's the NFL. As LaFleur says, this league will humble you quick. You think things feel bad now?
Nagler.
Imagine if they lose to the Giants.
Nagler. Can you please not
concentrate on Sunday?
Okay, can we please not on this show?
I'm just saying.
Can we please?
Carry on.
Okay. They're not going to lose on Sunday, so step away from the ledge.
Okay.
Dustin Shute, thanks for the super chat. Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. I'm thankful for Cheesehead TV, Packer Transplants, and BJ Raji.
That's really nice of you. Thank you so much.
Eric Witt, thanks for the super chat. I hope we don't stick with the plan again this week if the plan sucks. Happy Thanksgiving to you both, and even though it's going to leave a bad taste, go Seahawks.
Thank you very much. That's, yes, I agree with everything you just said.
Tyler Node, thanks for the super chat. I'd love to see Aaron run quick pass O like Brady.
Yeah, that's one of the things that drove me so insane about the game plan on Sunday night, is so much of it was seemingly attempting to develop things downfield, which is like the worst idea against that defense. I'm with you.
Uncultured Barbarian, Banky is the Riggs to Nagler's Murtaugh. Thanks for the super chat.
Wait, who was who? Who was who in that? Did he just call you Riggs or me Riggs? You're Murtaugh? Am I Murtaugh?
I'm Riggs. You're Murtaugh.
How are you Riggs? How does that work?
Because I'm the calm one?
You're the crazy one.
Oh, really?
Riggs is the crazy. Riggs is the guy who wants to kill himself.
I feel like I'm the main person. I'm like the...
You yell and scream about how much you love the Packers, so you
I'm
sound
the calm
crazy.
Person.
Oh, whatever.
19 yow.
Just before we move on, thank you. Any references to 80s action films?
I love Lethal Weapon.
I'm here for it.
That's a great series.
I love that movie.
19 yow. I love you guys. Unfiltered, unbridled passion and total honesty. Very nice to see in this day and age. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the super chat.
Dusty Lawson, can Nagler now read us all the night before Christmas?
Yeah.
No?
No.
You're not doing it?
Not right now. But thank you for the super chat.
Jonesy Rules 15, thanks for the super chat. What adjustments can Mike P make to improve middle of the field coverage and help out Kevin King?
Oh boy. Well, let him play more man. Tell him to get more physical up at the line of scrimmage. And essentially the middle of the field is obviously continuing to be an issue. I would think trying to solidify play time for your guys who play together the most, getting them in a groove rather than this mixing and matching in the secondary. You got Ibrahim Campbell, you got Shannon Sullivan, Josh Jackson was up, but he didn't play. It's like, can we just find some guys that all work well together and just let them work? Because I get that there's specialization. I get that there's an idea of trying to like mix and match, but it just seems to be way too much of it. And if the continuing problem, as LaFleur keeps telling us, is communication, hey, maybe having the same guys out there snap after snap will improve that communication.
Hmm.
That's just an idea.
I think they're both Leo Getz.
Okay. They fuck you at the drive-thru, okay? Okay, they fuck you at the drive-thru. That's from the movie.
I know.
That's what Leo Getz
says.
I
think it's hilarious.
All right.
That's all I got. So, people,
rock and roll
people. We have, okay. So have a happy Thanksgiving one.
Have a happy Thanksgiving
tomorrow. Then on Friday, Black Friday, please, please, please tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell all your Packer fan friends. We've got a Friday Madden preview marathon. Okay. Madden preview marathon. We're going to play the Giants, then we're going to play all the teams, and then we're going to do a little like
playoff scenario.
I'm going to be the commissioner of the Madden preview league, and I'm going to decide who won, who didn't win. And then I'm basically going to be like, okay, we're going to play this team in the playoffs, then Nagler's going to play that team, then we're going to win, and then we're going to play another team in the playoffs, then we're going to win, then we're going to play another team in the playoffs, maybe, then we're going to win, and then we're going to play the Super Bowl against probably the Patriots, and then we're going to win. But maybe the Kansas City Chiefs.
Or the Ravens.
It depends on the commissioner. That's me. Right. I get to decide.
Right.
We're talking about a 6 to 8 hour stream, people. Okay. We're going to get Nagler so wasted. It's going to be ridiculous. He won't be able to play. So that's the thing. You can't drink too much.
No.
Because we'll need you. You can't start drinking until the playoffs.
Oh, well, okay. I'll run the ball a lot and make sure the clock goes.
So, basically, be there on Friday. We don't know how long it's going to go.
We'll start early, though. We got to start early. If we're going to do it,
we're going to start at noon, I think.
No, probably 11.
Noon.
11.
Noon.
11.
Noon.
11.
Noon.
11.
Noon.
I got people to pick up at night, Banky.
Noon.
11.
Okay. We're going to start at noon. So, remember, I'm the commissioner. So, here's how this works. Maybe 11. It depends. Al's got to get the studio ready, and it's going to take him a hot second.
No, I feel you.
So, then you're going to join us on Sunday. Watch party.
Whoa. There's something before that. Something before that.
What happened?
Saturday night, we are going to be at Kettle of Fish.
Oh, no.
Banky is very, very reluctant, but we are going to be at Kettle of Fish. It's going to be a lot of fun. 7 o'clock, be there. We're going to talk Packers and drink some beers.
Oh, yeah.
Kettle of Fish here in Manhattan.
And then, so Friday, Madden preview. Saturday, Kettle of Fish. And, you know, it's going to be crazy. Then Sunday, watch party, Giants. Be there or be square. I know Grossi is here, so, you know, he'll be, like, streaming.
What's up, Grossi?
He'll be streaming for hours and hours and hours. You'll check him out. He'll do some raids. It'll be fun. It'll be, like, Packer fans everywhere on YouTube, which is great. But, yes, we're going to beat the Giants. Don't listen to Nagler. Don't let him get you down because it's Thanksgiving and so annoying. We're going to beat the Giants. I have no doubt. And if we don't beat the Giants, then I'm going to kill myself.
Oh, God, don't say that. Jesus.
Mike Witt with the super chat. Will Mags do his McGinn voice on Friday? Yes.
I'll do whatever you want. Yes. Whatever you want.
Basically, he's like a monkey. If you just give us super chats, he'll do anything.
Nagler dances. Is that it? Are we done? Oh, hey, I do want to say we got a bunch of new Patreons this morning. Thank you guys
so much.
It really means a lot. Like, look, we're in this great studio, wonderful microphones, computers, technology, whatever. None of that just happens by happenstance. If you're a Patreon, thank you so much. If you'd like to support what we do at Cheesehead TV, please consider giving us $5 a month on Patreon, patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. It really means a lot, and it really helps us kind of grow and continue to move forward. We got some really exciting stuff coming down the pike during this kind of hopefully push to the playoffs. I can't thank you guys enough. Thank you so much.
And also, you know, we need more Patreons because I tend to piss off the other Patreons and then they leave.
We literally
do. So we have to keep churning through the Patreons.
So one of the features on Patreon is like you get exit interviews and people keep saying, God, Banky's so annoying. So please, we need a
especially when I like call out Patreons on Twitter that I don't know.
That's really smart. Well, that'll do it for this week's installment of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who stopped by to chat some Packers with us. That's why Corey and I are here. We are, and will always be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information at past press conferences? Did we do something that you're down on us again? But this was what, last week, it didn't go very well, and we want to talk about your guys, and I'm not quite sure what you want from us to make that happen.
I can't help you.